is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome, El Hosho Tara, back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. I'm your host for this hour. I'm El Maya Hosham Tara, and you can find me here at newsforthesoul.com. You can also get our number from there to call in any other week, but today we're going to do the mailbag, and you can also write in at ontheair@telus.net. Again, that's Telus with one L. That's me. On the air at telus.net. So we do I do readings, the medical stuff. There's a lot of really great people who do the medical stuff. I'm not trained in the medical stuff, so I can only tell you as much as I see. so just a fair warning about that. But let's talk today, before we get into the mailbag, a little bit about, oh my God, attitude and surviving it when we're around other people who can't seem to cooperate with the growth. So it's really an interesting topic because, here's the thing about growth work. You get a lot of excuses, yes, but you also get a lot of the places where you'll tell somebody to do something and they won't do it either because they don't see it. They just don't have enough experience yet. They have an avid repulsion to do something that's going to be beneficial and healthy for them because they, are still either addicted to the bad behavior, like gossip. Gossip is really hard for a lot of people to give up, and they make being anti-gossip sort of like, oh my God, it's not that big of a deal just because they're shutting you behind your back, because they're addicted to it, and if you like gossiping, and for a lot of people, gossiping feels good, unless you're on the receiving end of it, especially in a way you didn't, especially when they got the facts wrong, and they're going, twist, 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 oh my God, look at how much of a bitch she is, because she said no to, so-and-so, even when it's really beneficial for you to have said no to him, because he's making your skin crawl, when people are sort of like going that route, and it's like, gossip's not that big of a deal. It's always easier to understand that these things are a big deal when you're on the receiving end of them, and that's why in interdependency, you don't do that. Codependency, people make excuses for it, and it's like, well, you gotta pick a side, pumpkin. By the way, everybody wants interdependency, but not everybody wants to play there, so I don't want to play there, but not really do the work to be there, and that's usually what we call play there. So when we're dealing with stuff like, bad attitudes, so first off, it's it is important to understand that you are responsible for being able to hold your own mood and your own attitude and your own happiness. Now, codependency says that's unfair because codependency is where your suffering tends to reside. And that's when people get unreasonable. They start making, get overly demanding, et cetera. So, and here's the thing. If you tell somebody, well, just don't hang out with them, and they're not there yet, or they don't have any other resources, or both, and they just don't realize that's what's going on, what they'll say is, well, it's just not that big of a deal. They'll just keep going back and suffering while blaming the other people. So here's the thing. If you can, so, there are different ways to look at it. So number one, if you can't handle your mood and you're expecting somebody else to be in a certain mood so you're okay, and I see a lot of people do that where they think they're the enlightened one, okay? So, but saying like, I'm the enlightened one, I'm happy, you're not happy, you're tanking my mood, is along the lines of saying, well, not along the lines of it is saying, I'm more advanced than you, but you need to do better so I'm okay because I'm the advanced one in this relationship. And you see this a lot when people are dealing with people they find, difficult to deal with. It's like, well, I need you to be okay, to do better so that I'm okay in this interaction, but I'm the awakened one. I'm the one who's, farther along, et cetera. And no, because here's the thing, you have moments where you're okay and other people are not. So, for example, you're going to a funeral, to support a friend. You know, somebody's grandmother has passed. It's not your grandmother. You didn't need her. You have no clue. So you're just going along and you're, you know, being a support. You know, you're hanging out with your friends. Maybe you're doing the driving, et cetera. And, you know, all your friends are showing up to support that one friend. But you really don't have any attachment to it except for that you're supporting your friend. So does that mean you're going to be as, you know, depressed and, like, hard done by as somebody who just lost a very, you know, beloved grandmother that they had the most amazing connection with? No. Doesn't mean you're wrong and bad for doing that? No. So codependency, yes. The codependency end of the spectrum, people often feel not gotten, but they feel not gotten because a lot of the behavioral patterns in codependency by choice, by self-victimization, tend to set those patterns up. So, you know, people will twist things around and it's not the truth. And the people in the other who were involved in the situation know it's not the truth, so they're not backing up that level of codependency. Well, there's a new girl. Wow, she's really pretty. Oh, my God, she's such a bitch. You should have heard what she said to me today. Oh, what's that? Well, she said I was a fat cow because I offered her strawberries. That doesn't make sense. Why would she call you a fat cow over because you didn't like strawberries? Like, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, maybe you could piece it together, like, you know, you don't eat much fruits and vegetables, so she's like, you know, she eats it to be healthy. But, you know, codependency, it is unfortunately incredibly common where people twist things around to make a bigger deal out of something, even innocent comments, in order to play the victim because they think it's going to get people to feel sorry for them. Unfortunately, that is one example, and there's a lot of them in codependency, which is what makes it so hard, where you're not going to, quote unquote, get it because, or where they're at because of what they're trying to get you, because it's not really fair. And in fact, that would be more along the toxic lines. And if she's really trying to, you know, get everybody against the new girl just because she's pretty and, you know, everybody's bullying the new girl, that would be abusive. Okay. So this is not just like some innocent little thing, but in codependency, because people are used to those behaviors, they tend to not think that they're a big deal. And so people can feel not gotten even when they are just being reactive, twisting things around, trying to get on their side, trying to get other people to bully somebody, and then they don't feel gotten because other people don't agree that, you know, quote unquote, the new girl's a bitch, even though she did nothing wrong, except, you know, she said like, oh no, she doesn't like, she doesn't want to eat a donut that you offered her, you know, thanks, I appreciate that, but, you know, I actually really healthy. And that's not the same thing as calling somebody else a fat cow. But codependency, people twist things around a lot of the time and they don't feel gotten. So not feeling gotten is very hard and very common in codependency because you actually have to, like, tell the truth. And for people to understand it from that point more is part of what helps people to feel gotten. Are there other ways to make somebody in that position feel gotten? Yes, but, you know, provided they're there. So, you know, you could say if somebody's, you know, more advanced and a friend is, you know, having a moment, you could say, wow, yeah, I understand that. You know, it's really hard. She's really pretty, isn't she? And it's like, yeah, dumb bitch. And it's like, okay. So we're not going to say that outside this room, you know, and you're like closing the door on the office, little coffee nook. Okay, so we're not going to say that out of here. So, like, you know, get your grumbling out now. I've got 5 minutes before I have to get back, you know, and your friend grumbles and grumbles, and then they'll get back to, like, you know, quote unquote, smartening up, and they'll knock it off, you know. And even if they're not uncomfortable with somebody else because they're too intimidated, they're at least not, you know, going around trying to actively get other people against them. Now, is this like the best thing ever to be happening at an office? No, but, you know, things do come up, but it is part of it, like what you do with it, you know, and how much you're using other people to gang up on somebody that makes the difference. So you can, you know, get your friend, you can get that they have a problem without bashing other people, and you can call your friend on it. You know, so if somebody is below that, and again, people do have to have the capacity to be able to cooperate with that. So at a lower level where somebody's not able to cooperate as much, and say it was somebody in the office you knew, and, you know, they're, but you don't like them, but they're complaining about the new girl who's like a real bitch, you know, in the same scenario. But you're sitting there saying like, okay, well, you know what? Actually really nice. And I've actually had a couple conversations with her, and it seems like the two of you actually have some things in common. Now, for somebody who's ready, they might go, okay, you know, and that can take, you know, maybe a little bit of the edge off. But if somebody's really feeling threatened, they're just not going to, they won't budge. No, she's a bitch. What are you talking about? You don't get me, you know. And then there's attack on you because you said the nice girl who's being attacked for nothing just because she's pretty, you know, you're now mean because you're not backing that up. So when, you know, so it's important to understand, like, when we go into these environments, well, yes, sometimes there can be a mixed bag. Say some, like everybody, like a grocery store, for example, can be a mixed bag. You're going to get people who are going to a high vibration grocery store just because it's the only source of higher vibration energy they feel they have at all. So they're frequenting that store because it makes them feel better because they can't access it one-on-one, or they don't have that as a support system for a friend's group yet. So you can get somebody who's, you know, really still in a lot of pain and suffering, but they will frequent something that's a little bit higher vibration. So you will get, like, grocery stores, for example, where you're going to get a mixed bag. at companies, you know, same thing, but you tend to get more people who are, if they understand and want to be in enough interdependency, they're going to hire that more. And while there can be mistakes, or sometimes, you know, you have a, you know, you have a shot of sympathy, you know, you got some compassion, and you end up, you know, and it does end up sometimes, like, you give somebody a break, excuse me, maybe, you know, you shouldn't have, and you just kind of, like, got back into it, and universe says, like, maybe you really shouldn't have done that, you know, so, like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, she's, like, sitting there all by herself, you know what, hey, you know, come join us for lunch, and, you know, she's not capable of, you know, sitting there at a nice lunch with people, and, you know, that's okay. And some people are more understanding and accepting of that, and some people are less. So there are, like, different ways that, you know, we do have compassion, and sometimes, you know, mistakes come along, or sometimes, you know, you're being nice to one person, but it's inviting somebody else in. So, for example, you know, maybe you see a little, you know, child looking very, you know, lost, and they're looking very longingly, you know, and your kids are, you know, for example, on the swing sets, and you're like, hey, you know, do you want to get on the swing set too? I'm happy to give you a push on the swings too. And they're looking very shyly, and, you know, a lot of the times they'll say no because they can't engage because it's too out of their system. And that's really hard to watch even as a child. You know, and sometimes, or when they're a child, and, you know, sometimes you'll get a kid who's like, yeah, you know, okay, great, and they'll do that, and you're pushing them, but your warning signs are kind of going off, even that, though it's a child. And, you know, again, when that happens, and it does, rarer, but it does happen. So when those things happen, it is important to remember that it's not like, oh, God, the child is just, like, horrible and evil, because, and I'm saying that because a lot of people take their stuff out on kids when they're very reactive. And that can be a kid who has different issues that can be affected just because something, you know, went wrong while they were in the womb. And that is not their fault. It also happens that a lot of kids who are victims of abuse in their childhood do look a little bit different. And some of the kids, I really want to be clear, are not abused, but the parents just don't have the skill set, and so they're not able to meet their child's needs. And they like their kid, but they're just not able to meet needs as well as somebody who's had a more stable upbringing, or has done their work, or a combination of both, is going to be able to do. So when you have that, and you're pushing, like, a child on a swing, for example, and you're getting some warning signs, this energetically, you're just, like, your warning signs are kind of taking off, you know, now they want to come over to your house and stuff like that. You know, sometimes you do have to be careful, because unless you are the person who does have the backup for that, and your kids actually do want to play, because sometimes your kids don't want to play with that kid because their warning signs are going off or that kid's being mean to them, so it's not comfortable, and that's really not a good idea to push. Now, we are talking about children, and I do think there should be way more support for children who are in abusive, homes and stuff like that. Still have to be able to take care of your own children and not subject them to abuse or bullying or whatever. So, and sometimes, you're nice to that kid, and then you see the one of the parents, and your warning signs go, oh, fuck. So all these sorts of things happen. So there are times, when it does just absolutely break your heart because you are not in that modality that helps somebody in that specific position. For example, if you are not here to work with children, especially children who have been traumatized or something's gone wrong somewhere, or, they're still in the midst of great amounts of abuse, that can be really hard. And sometimes you do know people who do work with kids like that, but it's not appropriate to, say to the parent, your kid's obviously got problems, take them here. And that can be too invasive, or what do you know? And they may not take the child in anyways. So those are all those things to consider. But when we're in, adult versions of dealing with, people who are setting your alarms off, again, there are times when you are going to want to help because it is human nature to very much help. And there are some times when you're not going to be able to do certain things or help them in a certain way that they want because they won't go for help in a different way. Now, and so when people have enough resources and they've actually done enough work, they actually do start to understand there's a lot more that you can actually do. When people don't understand that yet, that is very, very hard for people to come out of, because the way that you come out of things is that you understand you're responsible for your life, and not just as an idea that you heard and maybe you're willing to go along with it, but that you actually, truly, honestly understand that and get it, and you're living your life from that place. And it's a lot easier to work with somebody who's at that place because they understand that it's their job to look for solutions, and they will look for solutions, not just because it's the job to, while everybody's standing around going, you must look for solutions, otherwise nobody's going to like you. That would be more codependent, or can be more codependent spectrum on, you need to look for solutions. And this is not overwhelming somebody. Again, sometimes, interdependent people make mistakes, and sometimes it's codependency, the wagons are circling and, everybody's got their knives out, because you're going to fix yourself and, they're all ganging up on you because you're not perfect, even if you're doing a lot of work already. But when we're looking at, these different communities, again, we're talking about the codependent stuff. We're talking about where, abuse or trauma has been present. There are certain people that, just because of their experiences, they're not going to be able to cooperate with much happiness, much joy, much positivity, or even self-growth, or even enough self-responsibility currently. And that's hard, even when they want to be. But then when they don't want to be, you're going to be looking at, abuse and people taking things out on you. When people are going in because they think they're high vibration and demanding somebody else's, there, it's still codependent, and I want to be clear about this, to be demanding, that is a codependent flare, to be demanding somebody else is happy so that you're okay, to demand that they grow so that you're okay, because what it means is that for anybody who's doing that, it means that you are not there and being able to hold your happiness enough. And again, we know what this looks like because when you can hold it for yourself, because you can go to a funeral to support a friend, be with all your friends, and nobody has known the grandmother except for the friends you're there to support. And you're okay. You are okay. But codependency tends to make that, if there's enough of it in the area of you should feel sorry for me, codependency tends to make that bad and wrong that you're okay. So it is very common within codependency that people purposefully tank themselves because they think that's the right thing to do, because you're bad and wrong for being happy. Because when people have been happy in their lives, they maybe said, like, no, that person's too miserable, or they've, they've been tanked by the energy, or they don't want to go through abuse in some cases. And when people don't understand that, and the person who is happy walks off because the friendship isn't working for them or is giving off warning signs, in codependency, that feels very bad and mean and wrong. And so people sometimes, unfortunately, make the connection that, you know, if you're happy, you're a snob, and they'll deliberately tank themselves because that means you're a good person. And when in codependency, the more there is in different areas, the more that people are told they're bad for doing healthy, positive behaviors. And this is really important to understand, so people give up their happiness. So you can't really pull somebody out of that, in 2 seconds, who's not ready to come out of it. I really want to be clear about that. They just won't, and they may not even understand it. And it may be too much pressure, and it may actually, in some cases, be an unfair demand because it is too above their current capacity. And we see this with depression, and I mean like depression, you know, the actual diagnosis of depression. They've shown that, you know, the brain, people can't, the brain stuff, but it was... it is important to understand that people keep tanking towards the negative, and there are, you know, they have shown like effects on the brain. but it's also that, like, when people are really, there are different issues where people actually can't do it. So there are some people, like, they're doing everything right. And I want to be clear about this. They're doing like all these things that they should in order to be happy, but they just can't get there. Because even though they're quote unquote doing everything right, they're still missing some help in certain modalities that they need. And without that, they can't actually get there without the outside help. And this is really important to understand. And that doesn't mean, you know, demanding somebody's happy, or putting, you know, extra demands on them or bullying them. Oh, you're not happy. You know, how dare you? All those sorts of things. It's none of that nonsense. It's that they need to be processed in a certain way and or may need help with fixing old injuries. And, you know, especially with your visceral and your neural manipulations, the mood can improve and they can get capacity back that they will not be able to get without certain modalities that actually help them get there. And if you are, you know, in a community or looking to be in a community that's too rough emotionally, because nobody's there enough, then it is up to you whether you're going to stay there or you're going to look for an environment that is going to be able to support emotional health better. But in order to do that, you also have to be able to support emotional health better. And a lot of people, you know, if you're very happy, it freaks them out. Okay, and this is the interesting thing. It can really freak them out. So you have to learn how to play at the levels of happiness, joy, emotional health, in order to be willing to go into those environments. Because if you're not, you can have somebody say, you know, oh, you know, you've had a really hard time at that old environment. Great. I know this new place. Everybody's so happy. And they're going to be like, and they're going to take 3 steps back. It's like, really, you should go apply. And they're like, they take 5 more steps back and they look like they're about to bolt because it's just too much, quote unquote, too soon, because they're just not there yet and it's too threatening. So in codependency, you know, sometimes people get really nasty about this stuff, you know, it's like, oh, you're just not there. Ooh, you know, but it's important to understand that, you know, people are where they're at, and yes, thought processes do contribute to that. But so do past traumas, but it also takes time to learn this stuff and it will keep unfolding and it'll unfold for the rest of your life, provided that you let it. So if you want that stuff, then you have to work on yourself and you have to learn how to hold your own happiness. And for some people, again, if you're too happy in an environment where they can't support it, then they're going to tear it down. And sometimes you'll see that, you know, very angry business people. This is an interesting one because it can get confusing when somebody's above, you, you know, financially or whatever, and it's a little bit confusing. You don't realize that's what's going on. So you're going up and, you know, you're having, you know, you're talking to your, some of your coworkers or something, you're laughing, and you didn't notice a speaker up front, and the speaker is demanding you're not taking this seriously. And it's like, okay, so they're starting a few minutes early. You didn't know that they were, like, pausing. You didn't notice because you were keeping an eye on the time, but you didn't notice that the person who's holding the meeting has started it early, and they were just standing there, and now they're snapping at you that you're not taking it seriously. And that's, you know, really not fair. So, and this can sound kind of confusing because you do want people to take business meeting seriously, yes. But when there's a lot of anger, it can be like you, the fact that you're happy can be so threatening. It becomes like you're not taking this seriously. So does that mean you need to tank yourself? No. But if you're, you know, having a lighter voice and you're always getting picked on, that can be a sign. You know, sometimes people go over happy or go over passive, and that can result in them getting picked on because they're not firm within themselves yet. And that still comes from having stuff not worked through. And sometimes that can be perceived as weakness, and that can get people picked on. So this is not about, you know, tanking yourself. It's just realizing that sometimes you have to, you know, learn how to hold your own. But sometimes, you know, holding your own is like you are in a good mood and you are actually listening to them. But your voice hasn't like changed and gone down in tone to a level that they're acceptable with. And some people like need to tear you down. It's very satisfying. So if you see somebody who, you know, for codependency, people have a habit of really taking themselves. So they really take themselves and go, oh, you know, and like now they're like really upset and they're really sad. And now the other person like's happy and gleeful. That's a really good indication that you may be dealing with somebody who actually can't deal with your happiness, okay, or happiness in general. And they can look happy because it's a sign of relief. It feels better for them because they can't handle that. And I know, you know, one of the things that makes it hard to understand this stuff and get a good fitting is, you know, it's like some people are like, oh, that person's feeding on them. And it's like, oh, they're overreacting by saying that they're feeding on them. And do some people get a high off tearing you down? Absolutely. Some people definitely, absolutely 100% do get a high off tearing you down. Like it's very invigorating. But some people, they're not getting the high off it. They just can't handle it. And they're smiling because it's just relief. And it's important to understand these all these different things. Also, when things get out in public view, when you say these things, like, you know, some people actually do get the high off it. Some people are like, oh, come on, because it sounds to them like it's just same old bitching and moaning that tends to go around in codependent circles. And sometimes that bitching and moaning goes around, yes, because people are just complaining because it's a habit, but it also goes around because it's actually true. But then it's very common in codependency for people to start using a true fact where they're calling somebody on something and it's actually happening. It's very common for them to start, quote unquote, calling people out or otherwise mislabeling things or outright attacking using the same wording. So it's like, oh, they're getting off on you being depressed, and that's actually not happening, but because they're so angry and they're used to lashing out, they're accusing people of getting off on you being angry, even though they're actually not doing that. So that's important to understand. So when all these things happen, I mean, it is a lot harder to live in those environments, and they do tend to be emotionally painful. Now, some people claim, you know, it's great, and I've seen people that, like, you know, look like good friends, and their energies are like daggers. Now, here's the thing. Everybody needs love, and if they can do that, and if they can get along, and they have some way to be able to do that, and they're bonding, and they're not calling each other on it or whatever, everybody needs love. It's good that people have friends. You're probably just going to want to skip that because it's just going to be too detrimental for you to be involved in. Okay. And you can do that. Codependency says, like, you know, you need to be, you know, you need to be there. Otherwise you're a good person. No, you are responsible for the environments you hang out in. And if you're in an environment where you are getting, you know, slashed and diced and burned, it is your responsibility to go find a job somewhere else. And, you know, people say like, oh, well, you know, everybody's got problems or, you know, bad people are everywhere. Is that true? Yes. But there's a difference between bad people are everywhere versus you are working for a company where they have happened to congregate. And when people aren't capable of finding themselves to a higher degree out of that, they will often, you know, complain about being in one of those environments, but not do the work enough to be able to leave that environment, so they can't get what they need, and they can't stay where they are because it's too painful, or it's or they stay, but it's extraordinarily emotionally excruciating. That is a sign that you need to grow and get yourself out of that, and you will need outside help with that. For somebody who's at that level, you will need outside help for that, because you need access to, and by outside help, I mean outside help for the growth in terms of seeing a coach, hello, or other self-development or trauma therapy, as the case may be. You will need outside help for that, because the people that you can still get in there may, while you're in that position, may not be able to support that. Now, if you have a family who's really doing wonderful, but there's just been a trauma and, you know, somebody takes a dark turn or whatever, you know, then, you know, sometimes being around family can feel better and sometimes not. And sometimes even in that case, it still may not be enough. For example, if somebody needs trauma therapy, but they're not getting processed and the family unit does not do that or does not know how to do that, or it may not even be a good idea for family members to process you, then you're still going to need outside help. So community is good, but you are looking for this example for needing a professional to actually go over these things with you to help you grow. So when you're in, you know, any environment, you know, there is self-responsibility there. And yes, some things do not work because they are too much of a trigger in certain environments. And emotional health, for example, is very threatening for a lot of people. I want to be clear about this. It's also very needed, which is why you'll get people with, you know, really bad attitudes that are constantly being very abusive, but they're always lamenting the fact that they don't have somebody who's like better, you know, who does this, who does that. And in some cases, not all, in some cases they're just looking for somebody to be codependent with them and love them anyways, but in some cases they're actually looking for healthy behaviors, even if they don't realize that's what they want. And if you put somebody who's emotionally healthy into an environment that's not, either people are really going to, you know, be like, hi, I want to come be your friend because I recognize on some level the emotional health, or they're going to be very, very snarly and outright rejecting of it and may never have anything to do with you again, or, you know, maybe they're listening but they're not going to be able to cooperate, so they're just going to keep the same old patterns going, and you're not really going to be able to get anywhere, and you can definitely have all three. So when we're looking at, you know, the environment and stuff like that, it's not that the environment has to support you. I really want to be clear about this. And people say like, well, I want to live in a supportive environment. Well, I think everybody does. But what I mean by the support, by, you know, it's not the environment's job to support you. It's not. It is your job to be an emotionally healthy individual who's able to make choices and be comfortable in choices that are going to be serving the next level, so that you're going to be happy and comfortable in places where people are happy, they have money, they're emotionally mature, they're emotionally stable, and you're not repeating too many codependent behavioral patterns while you're in that. And that is your job because, you know, so when we get back to like, well, it's other people's job to support me, no. Why? Does that mean you can go in and, you know, be an absolute jerk to somebody in their house? Well, I don't have to support you. No, that's codependency. What it is, though, is that you're not, number one, it is not okay, and they're not even going to be capable of it anyways, to demand that a bunch of people support you, even if they're not going to be capable. And for people in that position to do that, there can often still be a lot of codependency. And if they're what they're shoving you into, you know, say you're on the flip side, you're, you know, it's not the best environment, but you're trying to make it happen. And then somebody comes in and starts demanding your support. You may not be able to support them anyways, it may not be healthy or in your best interests because there's too much codependency that they're trying to demand that you support, and your warning signs may be flaring off. You know, maybe not completely, it's just not feeling comfortable, but they like keep telling you wrong and making demands. Even though it's like, you know, well, you know, you need to be here at this meeting to support them. And it's like, well, I have children and I actually need to support them. And this was not part of the job description. And so, if, you know, everybody, so if there's a lot of codependency, everybody in the meeting room, you should make those changes. You're not being supportive. And it's like, well, if you signed up for a 9-to-5 job and suddenly, especially if it's another team member who doesn't actually have the authority to do that, all of a sudden switches the rules on you and starts demanding you, demanding these things out of you. That's not actually what we would call support. So commandeering somebody else's time, energy, money, support, quote unquote, can actually be considered abusive. So is that abusive? If you don't, like, you know, are you being mean and not supportive? You don't go, no. Sometimes some people have more than one job. Some people go to school at night, or they're going to school during the day and they're working at night and they don't have any extra time on the weekends because they're, and they deliberately were responsible and took a job with set hours where they will not, were not being called to participate in extracurricular activities outside of the work because they were being responsible in their other life and making room for schooling and making room or making room for that second job that they have, or in cases three jobs that they have, to be responsible and show up on a predetermined schedule. So people can and often are very responsible in how they're setting up their lives, and they said no to somebody just deciding all of a sudden you're going to support them, even when that's not going to be a beneficial environment. And when that happens, if there's enough codependency, you know, well, you're not being supportive. And interdependency, people aren't switching things over on you and then making those demands. And especially, you know, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes what somebody's up to. But if somebody's very egoic, and, for example, this would be, you know, they don't actually have the right to do that because they're not team lead, they're not the manager, they're not the owner of the business, and they're just deciding that you're all going to get better to get together to do that. Sometimes people will let an employee do that because, like, okay, well, it seems to be good for employee morale. You know, they're all getting together. You know, is that a good idea? Sometimes it can help people, you know, get together. But should you feel ashamed for not cooperating? No. Because, again, it was not part of the job description. And then saying that somebody's not part of morale, you know, employee morale, because they have other responsibilities, does not mean that they are not being supportive or not into the job, et cetera, et cetera. it's just that, you know, people could get very ego and start making demands. And sometimes it does work. So, like, sometimes it does turn out and sometimes it does work. but it does not mean you need to be susceptible to that. Now, and that would be an example of a manager, if the person was being bullied or called out for not being supportive, you know, it's, that would be the point in time for HR or a manager, the boss, whoever, to have that conversation and without accusing, like, hey, so why don't you want to go to this? Because that puts them on the spot, like they're doing something wrong. But it's like, you know, so, you know, hi, so I've heard that, you know, so-and-so has started up this group for employee morale. how do you feel about that? And if they're like, it's a good idea, and you know that they're not joining, or you're feeling, or they're, it seems like maybe they feel like they're being pushed into it, it's like, how do you feel about that? And they're like, well, you know, not, well, they're okay, but they're not joining. It's like, okay, because you look like you're rather uncomfortable with it. Well, I am. Why? Well, because I don't want to go to that group. Okay. Well, the job you signed up for is a 9-to-5 job. And they're like, great. And it's like, so this was, you know, something new. You are not required to do this. This is something that these employees are doing on their own. It actually has absolutely nothing to do with your job performance or your job. And you absolutely, you know, this is not something that by any means is mandatory that you have to participate in. and you don't say like it would be good for you to participate in it, because you don't kind of want to give an employee who's doing that with like shady energy, you don't want to give them that sort of power. But you do, if there is bullying, you do want to have, you know, go in there and have that conversation and make it clear if you're the boss or the owner, for example. Hi, so we've heard that, you know, this new group has formed. I think it's great that some of you are getting together, but this group is outside of, you know, the business hours, even though you all work here. And there is absolutely, and we want to be clear that there is absolutely no problem. There's absolutely no mandatory requirement from the business that you participate in this. This is something that you may choose to do on your own, but there will be no pressure on other people who have chosen not to participate in this. And you want to make that clear. Why some people let this go, and why do you not want to do that? Because if you're making somebody seem like they have control to implement policies or implement groups that could have a side effect on your business, such as when something goes wrong, or if there's other abuses or harassments, you have to be very careful about that. If you've given permission, you need to know what the laws are about that. And some people say, well, I didn't give permission. They went around this, and they went around and they did this. You need to be really careful about that, you know, and get that checked out with a lawyer. Like, what are your implications? Because I know I've definitely met some people who do those sorts of things, and there are people who, you know, they find their businesses are out of control for somebody else's codependency, and that's not what you want. And you also have a duty and a right to protect your employees. So if you are an employee, you know, who's doing that and you don't want to participate in it, you need to understand, like, all this stuff is going on. And there should be no, you know, pressure to that. So what if the company backs it up? Then you just may need to find a new job, right? And so so when we're looking at things like, you know, bad attitudes and environments that we're going to be able to survive in, there is an element of fairness. Now, will some jobs eventually evolve? And like, yes, they started this new company program and they would like you to participate. again, there is codependency versus... you know, interdependency. Well, it's like, yes, I understand that, you know, you've started this like, yay, Friday night bowling with everybody. Okay. you know, with the team for everybody to get to know each other. Okay. Well, I have classes on Friday and then it should be fine and not a problem. And when I say fine and not a problem, I mean actually fine, actually not a problem. Not somebody, you know, rolling their eyes at you and saying fine, or, you know, pressuring you like, well, we want people who are, you know, team players here, because that would be going more towards codependency, right? Not respecting that because you had something set up a certain way, people have planned their lives and made appropriate, healthy choices for themselves. And that needs to be respected as well, because schooling is going to be more important than somebody going bowling, you know, Friday night as a team player. Now, can those activities be beneficial? Absolutely, you know, that you're going bowling with a team. But again, it depends on what somebody else's schedule is like, but it also depends on how codependent the team is. If you are having, like, team-building exercises and you're shoving a bunch of codependent people together, there are going to be people that that's really not going to be beneficial for. And if you are feeling forced to participate in exercises where there's going to be too much codependency, you know, sometimes if you're not going to leave the job, you do it and things are okay and they go better than you expected. And sometimes you're just being shoved into uncomfortable situations. You'd probably be better off just going to find a job somewhere else with a more interdependent community. And does that happen? Yes, absolutely. And, you know, this, I want to be clear, this sort of thing is noted in business books. So in business teachings, this is not just, you know, some idea of like, you don't have to participate. Oh, if you have love in your heart, you'd participate. they do warn you about like looking at what kind of culture do you want to sit at? Do you want a codependent culture? Do you want a healthier, you know, more advanced growth culture? And if you do, then you know, forcing people to hang out with the lowest common denominator and sort of like squishing them together is not going to be beneficial. getting people involved in activities that are geared more towards the higher end of your energetic spectrum will help the people that health is too threatening to be the ones to sort of like more, you know, go away, take themselves off the scene by going for a job somewhere else. So you are looking for, if you want to have growth, you are looking more for communities that are pushing more of the growth end of the spectrum. But then again, you have to be able to do that and be comfortable with doing that. And it is easier, I want to be clear about this, to be and to have a healthier life when people are going more towards emotional health than they are towards more backing up codependency. So, you know, I can't tell people what to do. So it's like it is your choice, but it's really not that much of a choice because too much codependency, it can make people's lives work. Now, sometimes, you know, I want to be clear. Sometimes people are hanging out with a bunch of their coworkers. It's very codependent. They discover, okay, it's not as bad and horrible as they think, but it just may not be in your best interest. And if those things are situations outside of work, for example, you know, it's like, yes, you know, you're a team player and, you know, you're all getting together for a work event and you're sitting at a table that's too low vibration for you and you meet some new friends and you run into them at the same restaurant, so you're all out for dinner or something. And it's like, oh, hey, what are you doing with them? And it's like, you know, this is a work event. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, and sometimes people will stay hang out with you. Sometimes they walk off and that's not fair, you know, and, you know, sometimes those things do show, you know, this like line in the sand, this division between interdependency and too much codependency. so, you know, there are times when that does cause complications. And when people have a habit of backing up codependency, sometimes they'll choose the codependency over the healthy stuff. So, you know, if there's like some sort of an argument, somebody's being snotty from the work environment to the new friends, even though the new friends are more emotionally healthy, more interdependent, there can be a demand of like really, you're going to go hang out with those snobs? And, you know, from the codependent view, and they're like, seriously, you're calling a snob? And if you're backing that codependency up, you're choosing codependency. And that can be a very difficult position because, you know, if you're backing up the interdependency, you know, things can go really south and really sour going back to work after that. even if people aren't being overly dramatic, and some definitely will, if you get enough codependency in there, but even at lower level, like lesser levels of codependency, you know, maybe they just don't talk to you and interact with you. So sometimes, you know, there is this line in the sand, and this is what makes it so hard to come out of codependency sometimes, is that you really, there are times when that test will come up. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the codependency? Are you going to choose the interdependency? Are you going to get ahead or are you going to suffer? And it's that leaps and bounds ahead thing where sometimes, you know, you're really being pressed, you know, pedal to the metal. and you're going to either have a giant jump of growth or you're going to go in and like go back down into things that aren't as beneficial for you. And it can be confusing too, because if people have like, you know, they're hanging out with friends that are too, you know, we're a community that's a lot lower vibration than they are, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get the interdependent group of friends if they make that leap. So you really have to be able to hold that interdependency and sometimes be like, you know what, this is a work event, but that's not okay to treat other people. And then you go hang out with the more independent people. And it's like, you know what? I'm really sorry. Like, I'm looking for a new job, but then you actually have to be looking for a new job. you know, and then you go hang out with them. And, you know, sometimes, you know, bosses, if there's a lot of codependency, they'll call you on that. You know, hey, I heard you're hanging out with the group at, you know, the work group, and you weren't being very nice. What happened? And it's like, well, I was being nice, but they attacked some very nice people and I wasn't going to back up attack because they did nothing wrong. They were just there with their friends group, so they didn't want to sit with us because they were there to, you know, hang out with their friends. you know, and the work crew got really nasty. So I, you know, decided to go sit with my friends instead, because I'm not going to back up people being mean to other people. And, you know, maybe they can handle it, maybe not. But your chances get better that, you know, the people are not going to be able to handle that if there's too much codependency. So, you know, it's, for some people, it feels like a little slip. But then they have other moments where they're like, this is really hard. I can't get out of this. What's happening? And it's because of that push of that demand to, from the universe, to come out of codependency. You know, it's there and it happens, and you have that choice to make. And again, interdependency is always easier than codependency, even if it doesn't feel like it in some moments. But if you'll notice, in that example, if somebody knows that the that their work community is not beneficial for them, there's not a lot of comfort there anyways. It doesn't feel good. Or, you know, if you've got, like, you're sitting there and it's like, oh, God, that guy at the table who's always being an asshole and he's hitting on you, or he's, you know, roasting you or whatever else, or just tearing, you know, his bad energy into you, et cetera. Like, it's not just, some people think it's benign, but it's not just, but it's not benign because you're still not feeling good. And it's really not benign if you're going through, you know, toxicity and abuse. So what some people sort of like think is benign, like they're not really going to hurt you, be that bad of a thing, isn't going to be isn't necessarily going to be beneficial for you. Now, are there some really nice people who are at lower levels of codependency than you are, than you ever were? Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they're very supportive and they've grown, but that's just, you know, that's what they know, right? So they still hang out with those people and they can be really nice and you can have a really great time with them. But to hang out, you know, after work on different days, it may not work. It may not vibe for you because, it's just, things are going to go downhill if you hang out with them outside of work, based on the community that they still have. And that is part of the growth work, is sometimes, you know, you like people, you see their hearts, you see they're good people, you see they're well-studied, you see they're really trying, and you're still making other choices not to hang out with them because it's just still not going to be a good idea for you. And, you know, sometimes that's a hard one, you know, because it's like, hi, I see you, but it's like looking at somebody on the other line of the sand and you know that, like, you can't help them out until they're willing to help themselves. But they're really good people, and sometimes you just honor that, you know, be like, wow, you know. And or if you run into them and they're having a problem, you know, you can say to them, and very honestly, look, I know you're a really good person, you know. And I understand why you're having a hard time at work with some of those other people I met that you're involved with. I understand why you're having a hard time with that. yeah, well, you know what? You're a really good person, and I really think you deserve better. And some people are like, wow, I've never had anybody say that to me ever before. And you can say it because you mean it, because there are actually really good people who are down at the lower levels, like truly, okay? And this is really important to understand. Way below you, there are really good people there. But it's just that you have to make a choice. And the higher up you go, which codependency calls you a stop for, but the higher up you go, the more that you see and understand, and then that helps you to have the resources that empowers you actually to be more helpful when people are ready to get ahead. But if people don't understand that, you know, again, it's bad or wrong, or you've betrayed them because you've left, or you feel guilty about it for a while until you really get the hang of it. And when you get the hang of it, again, codependency, this is bad and mean, you see this whole beautiful new world of possibilities, and it's not really a whole new world. It's just a whole new world to you because you didn't know it existed before. And other people are not there because they don't understand that it is there. It is accessible to them, and they can make the changes too. And the higher you get, the more you're going to be able to be capable of helping and move people forward. So it is the best thing in the world. So we are at the top of the hour, and I'm sorry it turns out this time was a teaching time for this entire hour, but it does bring us to the next question. Do you want to get ahead? Do you want to be able to make breakthroughs on patterns? Do you want the community that's going to be able to see your heart, going to be able to support the healthy serving behaviors? If you want that, then you go to www.enlightenmentinthecity.com and you come in for a coaching session and we can work from there. So Again, so we're on every single week. Well, I'm on every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That is your rush hour. And you can also find me here at newsforthesoul.com. Again, my name is Elle. It's still, just look up Elle Tara. So that's E-L-L-E, Tara, on newsforthesoul.com. And you can find me there. My information is there as well. So thank you, everybody. I really hope you're doing a really, you know, I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're going to have a really good week. And I really strongly wish for you that you see the next possibilities and see all the potential in the world, because that's the stuff that you're going to be able to use to make things happen. So thank you so much, everybody. I love you. Again, 3 p.m. PST every single week, 3 p.m. here on newsforthesoul.com. Thank you. Bye-bye.